Welcome back to another episode of Investees. This week on the podcast, we are going to discuss investing in art. On April 15th, I had the honor of moderating an investing forum about arts. It was presented by the Latino Arts Project and sponsored by Charles Schwab. The forum provided such a great opportunity to explore how investments in art can add cultural value and financial appreciation to our portfolios. It was especially fitting given that it was World Art Day, and the forum opened up the perfect space to not only celebrate that day, but also have a valuable discussion on the intersection of art and finance, something that is very similar to the stock market in the sense that communities of color are rarely having these conversations. The panel included some truly incredible guests. We had gallery owner Daisha Board, who owns several galleries here in Dallas, where she focuses on featuring BIPOC and LGBTQ art. We also had an iconic Dallas artist, Viola Delgado, and an accredited senior appraiser, Janice Lee, and an international art collector, Lester Marks, and the Vice President, Senior Specialist of Latin American Art at Christie's, Marisol Nieves. I was really impacted by this conversation. Of course, getting to moderate and doing research on the topic and then listening to what all of these professionals had to say made me feel like I needed to have this conversation with my investees. If you've followed my podcast, if you've heard me speak or read my book, you know my stance on building generational wealth through entrepreneurship, which is simply the investment in oneself, real estate, and the stock market. This conversation that I had with these incredible panelists was so enlightening that it's opened my eyes to an exclusive way of wealth creation. The feeling was so reminiscent of how I initially perceived the stock market over a decade ago. It's so evident that art in our communities of color is so overlooked as an asset class, and it is deserving of so much more attention. When art is undervalued, our ability to see it as a viable investment truly suffers. I was so inspired by this conversation that I wanted to bring this to you, investees, so that we can start to have conversations about potentially adding art to our portfolios. I'm going to share with you all my key takeaways, but before we get into that, I wanted to talk to you about statistics because you know I'm a numbers girly. I do want to start off by saying that it was challenging to find statistics in this area. A lot of what I was finding were many years old. The most recent piece that I found that I think is valuable pertaining to this conversation is dated from June 2019, and it is from hyperallergic.com. The study was conducted on 18 major U.S. museums, and it reveals that 85% of artists featured are white and 87% are male. Black artists are the least represented artists with 1.2% representation in these museums. Asian artists come in at 9%. And the Latina artists constitute only 2%. The museums with the highest rate of white representation is located in Washington, D.C., coming in with 97.4%, and the Detroit Institute of Arts coming in with 94%. Rhode Island School of Design Museum and the Museum of Contemporary Art are coming in at the most diverse, with white representation at 78%. The museum with the highest percentage of women artists include Los Angeles Mocha coming in at 24.9% and the San Francisco Museum of Modern Art coming in at 18%. And then we have Whitney Museum of American Art coming in at 22%. The lowest collections of art by women are the Detroit Institute of Arts with only 7.4% and the Metropolitan Museum of Art coming in at 7.3%, as well as the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston with 8.2%. For the highest representation of Black artists, we have the Museum of Arts in Atlanta coming in at 10.6%. Is that right? That's right. That's really upsetting. Again, this information is from 2019. I hope that the numbers have drastically increased since then. LACMA in Los Angeles is also extremely disappointing as it comes in close to 0%. Asian artists are the most represented at LACMA, coming in at 17.7%, and the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston coming in at 16.1%. The Latine artists are best represented at Mocha in Los Angeles with 6.4% and at the Denver Art Museum coming in at 5.4%. I'm honestly in shock right now. I understood the numbers were going to be lower given the rates of white representation, but for some reason I thought that in highly concentrated areas with Black and Brown communities that we would be much better represented. And this is so upsetting. I need to take a break. We need to take a break. When we get back, we are going to discuss the valuable information that I learned this week. Investees, if you are enjoying this podcast week after week, if you find it beneficial, if you're learning from it, I ask you for a big favor. Please head over to Apple Podcasts and consider rating and reviewing the podcast. This really helps to amplify our work and shows the interest. We currently have so many of you listening to us weekly, but our reviews are not reflecting it. So I'm asking for a favor. Please, if you are enjoying this content, let me know by leaving a rating and a review. Thank you. And we are back. As a reminder, the statistics that I just read off for you are the major museums across the country. It does not include all museums. It's important for me to highlight that there are Black and Brown-owned museums that solely focus on amplifying artists of color. But I'm talking about major art institutions known across the country and the world. And I do think that it is important to increase representation in these major museums because it does increase the value of our artists. I am going to include two resources in the show notes of Black-owned galleries and museums, as well as 18 Latine-centered museums. It's not clear if everyone on the Latine list are owned by Latinos or if it is just hyper-focused on Latino art. That is not clear. It is on some of the lists, but I just want to make sure I make you aware. I am going to share with you two resources in the show notes. One resource is by Hypebeast. It gives a list of hundreds of Black-owned galleries and museums that you can go and support. And another list is by Hip Latina that gives us Latin American art museums. It's not clear on all of these whether they are all Latino-owned or if they center on Latino art. Some of them are Latino owned, but I'm not sure that they all are. Either way, this list is representing museums where we can find art by our community members. I know that those numbers just sounded extremely daunting, and as an investor, your first question may be, is this actually a valuable investment given that we are underrepresented in the space? And here is what I want you to consider. Investing in artwork from underrepresented communities such as Black and Brown artists and women is not only a valuable opportunity, but it is also a significant trend in the market. During this panel discussion, the experts emphasize that art from these communities is currently in the spotlight. It's indicating a growing market demand. This presents a unique chance for us as investors to explore local galleries showcasing our community's artworks. I think that this should be a strong consideration when investing. So let's get to the numbers and tell you why I feel this way. Obviously, we know it's important to support each other, but when we look at the investment increase compared to the S&P 500, you're not going to believe this, but it's actually higher than investing in the S&P 500. We know that the S&P 500 on a good year averages 8 to 10% a year increase. When we compare that and average out the increase in capital gains for art, we're looking at a 12% increase a year. Not only can this actually be a viable investment, but it can also be a great way for us to diversify our portfolios. One of the questions that I asked Lester Marks, the art collector and dealer, is if he had noticed any trends that aligned artwork with the stock market and economic tightening. And he said that while they don't necessarily mirror one another, the way economic tightening, interest rate increases, inflation all impact the stock market, you don't necessarily see that with the increase in value in art. Of course, he did highlight that you need to be mindful if there is economic tightening, that there could generally be less sales as folks are spending less money. But that all in all, it doesn't really mirror the stock market in the sense that from one day to the next, the value of art isn't as volatile as it is in the stock market. I want to now talk to you about key takeaways for those that are listening to this and are now considering potentially investing in art, or you have already invested in art. I want to share that I do have several pieces that I have purchased. Some pieces I purchased directly from Oaxaca, and other pieces are from local artists in Los Angeles and local artists in Dallas. I have purchased these pieces from the perspective of, oh my gosh, I love this. It would look great in my home, and I want to support an artist. I honestly was not considering that I was actually making an investment, that this investment could be potentially valued at a much higher price than what it was when I purchased it, or that this could actually be a family heirloom. Things to consider as you purchase art is that you definitely need a receipt, which I know sounds like a no-brainer, but again, I was making these purchases from a I love it, I want to support the artist's perspective. The pieces that I got from Oaxaca, I do not have receipts for. Luckily, my best friend does know the artist, so she's going to obtain receipts for me. Now, moving forward, I'm going to be vigilant of getting my documentation, filing that away, and absolutely treating it like an investment, as well as treating the art like an investment, right? So making sure that I'm taking care of it properly. Aside from proper documentation, another takeaway I had is that you should definitely get your art appraised every several years so that you can increase the value of your art and track that accordingly. It's really important to also get your art insured. Renter's insurance and homeowner's insurance do not cover art. So what you do is you take the appraised value to your insurance company and they should be able to insure that separately. Lastly, I just want to say that for our Dallas listeners, Dallas is an emerging art market, so it's important for us to get out there and potentially find a piece that absolutely speaks to us, and we can simultaneously look at it as an investment. Daisha Board, who was one of the panelists, has several art galleries called Daisha Board Gallery. There are some really great pieces from Black and Brown communities. If you're in Dallas, I highly recommend that you go check out her galleries and start considering adding this to your portfolio. Obviously, just like anything else, make sure that you do your proper research. If you have friends that have invested into art before, that have sold art before, that have appraised art before, make sure that you are getting advice, learning from them. I still have so much more to learn. This was an eye-opening experience to me, and I felt like it was important for me to share what I have learned. I have already acquired, as I have mentioned. So now it's about taking care of what I have already acquired and understanding that moving forward, an acquisition is an asset. I want to give a very special shout out and thank you to Jorge Baldor, who opened up this space for all of us. He felt that this was an important topic for us as community members to learn. I was exposed to the collection of art that he has. I'm sure it was a small portion, but I got to see the first floor of his home, and it was absolutely breathtaking. It was moving. I felt like I was in a real-life museum. That was so inspiring to me, especially coming home and rethinking about where I have the pieces that I've collected. Thank you, Jorge, for giving us this important exposure. You're listening to Investees, a Cosmic Standard and In Lose We Trust production. I'm your host, Linda Garcia. A special thank you to our team, Asia Simpson, Eliza Smith, and Jacob Winnick.